You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday with Wayne McCurry, who's a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. And there's a couple of things coming up in the next couple of days, both from central banks. One is the South African Reserve Bank and the other one is the US Federal Reserve and the FOMC decision on interest rates. And also, more importantly, probably the rhetoric that goes around the decision to leave rates unchanged, I would have thought. So there's some interesting things coming along. But meanwhile, I want to talk to you about one thing, and that is Discovery. Discovery is a South African company which plies its trade a lot outside of the borders of the Republic. Outside, yeah. But that was a massive, massive fall in profits, was it not?
Yes, it was. And I suppose you're sitting with a number of things. So let's deal with the insurance part, the medical, the insurance part of the business, or more correctly, the assurance part of the business.
Yes.
A lot of profit is made on new business volumes. And if your agents and brokers can't go out there and meet a client, that disappears. So I'm not too sure of the exact figure, but I would not be surprised if the new business volumes dropped 50%. And the commensurate fall in profits.
So what you're saying is that people go and knock on the door, and if you work for a Discovery, people knock on the door and you have a cup of tea and a ginger biscuit or something, and then you say, Mr. McCurry, I would like to sell you this, and you fall under their spell, and that's what happens. That's still the way they do business. Is that what you're saying?
I think Discovery is a bit different because they'll be calling more on the corporate client to get their whole medical scheme type of thing.
Hmm.
But they do sell to individuals as well, make no mistake. Yes, I mean, there's this old adage in the business that life insurance is sold, not bought. In other words, you and your wife don't wake up on a Saturday morning and say, ooh, so exciting, we're going to go buy some life insurance. it's sold, not bought.
It's a grudge purchase is what
it's
you're saying.
It's a purchase almost, yes.
Yeah.
And then the other part of the assurance business should be okay simply because the markets have recovered. So that's not too bad. Their medical experience. Now, I know that the medical scheme is in a different company and Discovery only earns fees on that, but the actual medical scheme, no one had elective surgery and no one got injured in car accidents. So there'll actually be quite nice surpluses coming out of the medical side because, I mean, as I said, no one went for elective surgery and there wasn't a car accident because there were no cars on the road for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, even now, the cars haven't really built up any great volumes yet. Then the other big one, of course, is the bank. And the bank is chowing money, as you would expect any startup bank to be doing at the moment. You can see African Rainbow Capital put a lot of money into Time, and Time's still a long way from making profits, and so is Discovery Bank a long way from making profits. You know, hopefully it works for them. There's every indication that it will be successful, but in the startup phase, you know, I don't know what the bank has cost them to date, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Billions.
That a number at 5 or 6 billion.
Yes, exactly.
Now, the one reservation I've got about any new bank, not Discovery, but any new bank, is if you want to swing in the big league there, if you want to play in the big league, man, you've got to find, I mean, it's almost pick a number, 50 billion, 80 billion rands worth of capital if you want to grow your book to the size of the big players. Eh? I mean, it's massive, Lindsay.
Yeah,
it really is. One information about all of these startup banks, because in banking, and I've been in life insurance my whole life, but I know a little bit about banking. What I know about banking is you don't make any money from transactional banking. You make money by lending out, giving people loans and mortgage bonds.
Because you can drive a bus through the lending and the borrowing. element of your business. In other words, you borrow money from the South African Reserve Bank at X, and you lend it out at 2-4% higher, depending on the type of loan you're talking about. So you can drive a bus through it. That's what a bank is all about.
That's where you make money. You don't make money from transactions.
Mm.
So I'm a little bit cautious about time. They've got to start lending money. Can't make money and Discovery exactly the same. And to do that, to play in the big league, you have got to have wallops of capital, serious, serious capital.
Do you know what I'm worried about, Wayne, on this front? There's three things here. It's a crowded space in a shrinking market. So you've got lots of people trying to get the few amounts of rands that are available. That's the first thing. But also, it's the giant egos of the people at Discovery. And I'm not being nasty about the people, because they've built the most incredible business. But it was ill-conceived, I think, because they said, we can have a bank and we can do everything.
I agree with you halfway on that.
What halfway?
Surprisingly enough, it's not actually a shrinking market. Even in the pits of the lockdown and in 2008, people are still borrowing money. I mean, credit advances are still about 5-6%, which is still higher than inflation. So the market itself is not that bad, actually. But I do agree with you on the one thing. This is a crowded space, eh?
Why do they need a bank? They're doing so well. It's such a good business.
Personally, I wouldn't start a bank in the South African environment. You have got entrenched players. You have got serious capital and have been there for a very long time. Mm. Now, Discovery's got a business model, and their business model is definitively client-centric. So their whole business model is relatively simple, and I think it's a business model many, many financial institutions would love to have. Their clients love them. You go and try and take people off Discovery Medical Aid and put them on some other medical aid, you get serious backlash.
It's like someone coming to you and saying, you've got an iPhone, Mr. McCurry, would you like to go to Samsung? And you'll say, no, I understand the iPhone. I'm never going to change. No. You have this loyalty, this inertia.
They have a very loyal customer base, and their business model, not overseas, in South Africa, has been, let's sell more and more to the clients that love us. So that's why you got Discovery Insure, Discovery Invest. So in other words, they expanded from the pure medical scheme. So then the next logical step for them is to say, our clients love us, but they bank with APSA, First Rand, etc. Let's open a bank. So I think that's the...
Well, that was always my argument. It's called cross-selling, Wayne. You have got a Discovery Health, a Vitality account, or whatever it is, and you're paying them 4,800 rand a month. And then they phone you up and say, by the way, we're starting a bank now. Would you like to have a look at this? Because our fees are going to be 0.2% on every transaction rather than 0.7%. And then you suddenly get seduced into that.
We can do you a mortgage bond and we can do you a car loan and But to me, the downside of that model is it takes serious capital to compete. So Time Bank, Bidvest Bank, Discovery Bank aren't really a big threat to the big banks for the next 3 or 4 years. Simply because they haven't got the capital to truly expand their loan book. You need, I'll say it for the 10th time, you need serious capital.
Yeah.
And Discovery hasn't got capital. They haven't got spare capital lying around because they've always reinvested it into new business ventures like the bank, like Ping An, like wherever else they've gone overseas, in the UK, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you think that they are the insurance financial services equivalent of what Aspen was 4 or 5 years ago when they said, we can do anything because we've done so well, so let's go out and buy stuff and do new things, and they had to rein themselves in. Would you say that Adrian Gore and his team are the same?
I wouldn't say that they're the same, because Aspen, the true problem with them is they took on too much debt.
Yes.
Discovery hasn't got that.
Okay. So
Discovery's been lucky enough to issue capital, issue shares. And so Aspen's problem was it took on too much debt. They were caught out because a lot of the ventures they went into didn't work all that well. But it was essentially the debt that caught them.
Yes.
And then they had to sell almost the crown jewels. Because, you know, what do you sell? You can only sell your good businesses. You can't sell your bad businesses or your startup businesses because no one's going to pay you decent money for it. So they sold a lot of their good businesses to get the debt down in Aspen. So I don't think Discovery is the same.
Yeah, but it's the same theory, isn't it? You start to think, well, I'm very good at insurance, assurance, everything else. And suddenly, well, why not take on the banks? Because I can cross-sell to my client base.
Yeah.
And suddenly, two or three things occur, i.e. the South African economy falls in a heap, the world economy gets hit by a global pandemic, and so it goes on.
Yeah. And look, I've learned one or two big lessons in life, and in asset management.
Yes.
And the one thing I've learned in asset management, outperforming is almost as bad for you as underperforming.
Why?
Because when you outperform, you become very arrogant. You think you know this game backward. It's easy. I've been so successful to date. Whatever I do will be successful.
Yes.
And then you just extend too far and it comes and it bites you. Now, I'm not saying this is the case with Discovery. Time will tell on the bank. Time will tell. Because there's the other thing I've learned in investments. Is eventually you work out whether you're a complete idiot or not. You eventually know if you're right or wrong. You eventually know.
Yeah.
But let's put that aside. But lots of South African companies, and you can name them all. There are so many. You went overseas as big shots. We're going to show these guys how it's done. And they got cleaned out in total. Eh?
Yeah. Yes,
and you can name them. And they're not just a handful of them. There's more than a handful. But taking Discovery, this is the big unknown is the bank. Because all of the other ventures have actually been eminently successful. Very successful.
Okay, I think what we're talking about here is we're talking about the same thing, but with a different interpretation. I think that the South African boardroom became a little bit too cocky, and it said to itself, we can show the British and the Australians and whoever it is, how to run a business.
We'll show them how to do it.
Yeah, we'll show them how to do it. And they had lots of money, and their share prices were at elevated levels, and they had all this script that they could farm out, etc. But it hasn't worked out that way for some of them. But you don't think Discovery is in that ilk? You do think it's a different case?
I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so, because if they do stumble, it will be on the South African bank. It won't be on their overseas ventures.
Mm.
And I don't think they're going to stumble on the South African bank. You know, it's going to take them a long time to make serious profits. But their overseas ventures seem very good and very stable. I mean, Ping An is a wonderful investment to have. It's just extremely successful. But the bank, you're putting a lot of money behind that, eh? And it's a long time till you make profits.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And you've got a lot of competition as well. Retail sales came out today. It says here, retail sales update. Retail activity fell by a further marked 9%, down 9% year on year in July, reflecting the dire position of consumers. And I noticed yesterday that Fashini and Truworths were both down quite sharply ahead of this number. So, again, we have to... that's good for you because you're waiting in the wings for some cheaper prices. But it does seem...
I'm not sure we're going to buy the apparel retailers, eh? No matter how much those shares fall. The normal retail, you know, the food retailers, etc. But apparel's in deep, deep trouble fundamentally, even before the COVID came along, simply because there's deflation in the price of the goods they're selling, even with the weaker rand.
Yes.
There's deflation. And you can't, you know, you can't get 8% volume growth to make up for the 2% deflation that you're getting, 3% deflation you're getting in your selling price, because your cost base is going up 4-5% each year. So you are just getting squeezed. So the apparel retailers, I would be a little bit concerned about. Now, I take Fashini, you look at their results to September now. So this is not old data.
Yes.
I mean, jewelry and cosmetics, jewelry was down 70% in the 6 months to September, and cosmetics was down 50%. So in other words, the ladies were not putting on makeup to stay at home and work online.
Or the men.
All the men. Not that I buy makeup or use men's grooming products. But, you know, there are some metros you do, and that's fine. If it floats your boat, that's all great. But no one was, eh?
But you use moisturizer and eye cream and that sort of thing.
No. I use no male grooming products. I use one brand of underarm, which is Axe. The Lord alone knows why they change the name from Ego to Axe. And any flavor, I just buy the first one on the shelf.
Wayne, you have to buy. Can I give you a tip here on the consumer front? Because every week we talk about various habits that we have, you and I, as we get older and older. Mitchum. Yes. Mitchum is the only thing you must buy. Mitchum.
Is it? I've never tried it.
You have to try Mitchum. You get the unscented Mitchum roll-on, and it's the only one. It was the original 48 hours of freedom.
Roll-on makes your arm hairs sticky, man.
Yeah, but if you okay, well, but the spray thing hurts the environment.
I like the spray one.
No.
And then I use Old Spice.
Oh, God.
Aftershave and nothing else. And Old Spice is a magic thing.
But it's certainly a great brand. I like that ship they've got.
It almost multiplies in the bottle. You can buy one bottle every 2 years, and every time you use it, there seems to be more in there. It's magic. It almost multiplies.
But that's telling you something. It's got something horrible inside it. It's like an entity. It's growing.
It grows. Yeah, it's got a life. Yeah, but that's the only male grooming product.
But a male grooming product is not an underarm deodorant. I can honestly tell you that you mustn't use Axe or Ego, whatever it's called. You have to buy Mitchum, because if you're a stinky person...
I'll try Mitchum, but I mean, I'm not a guy that puts on moisturizer and eye lotion.
Oh, I do.
We once went away for a corporate weekend.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of us, a little corporate jolly, you know, when you still used to have corporate jollies, this was about 10 years ago. Little jolly down to the Drakensberg, and we had a lovely time. And we were sitting having sort of like pre-dinner drinks, and this one girl said, "Ooh, you know, I left my nails don't look all that good. I left my cuticle cream behind."
Cuticle cream.
And this one chap said, this one man said,
"Yeah,
don't worry, I've got some. You can borrow mine."
That's embarrassing. No, you shouldn't say that. No, you see, he should have kept that to himself.
Goodness. He should have just kept quiet. She can lend his cuticle cream.
Yeah.
Needless to say, he was ragged forever about it. I won't mention who it is because
why?
He's actually quite a well-known guy in the financial services field.
Please tell us. No one's listening.
I won't do that. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. But yeah, so I don't use any form of true male grooming product.
All right. Well, tell me this then. I mean, I will tell you that you have to go and get Mitchum because it's 48 hours of freedom. And I mean, really, I mean, you even if you're the stinkiest person in the world, this stuff is anti-stink. That's the first thing.
Okay.
But we were talking about TFG and Truworths and retail results. When was the last time you went to a shop and bought an item of clothing?
Well, look, I only shop for all my clothing at two places.
Okay, number one.
A clothing and Macro.
Pick and Pay and Macro, yeah?
Yeah, only place. And then once a blue moon, I'll buy a suit from Woolworths. But nowadays, no one wears suits. So the only time I wear a suit is when I go on television.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't wear a suit to go to work or meet.
You go on television twice a week or something. I see you all over the place.
Nowadays, you're sitting at home for the last 5 months.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's the only time I will wear a suit is to go on television.
Yes.
So I do all of my clothes shopping at Pick and Pay Clothing and Macro.
And yet you're a wealthy man, and you still go to the cheapest places.
Look, I don't own any branded clothing at all. None of my clothes have got any form of branding on it. It's a generic Pick and Pay and Macro stuff. So I don't own anything with Adidas or Polo or Lacoste or... it just does not. I've been into a luxury goods store once in my life, and that was at the Singapore airport, that Time to Kill. So I walked in there, and this was, I'll think of Paul Sharkey. That's it. Paul Sharkey, they sell clothes. And they had a pair of baggies there. I mean, these were just swimming baggies, swimming trunks.
Right.
And then I converted it to rand. It was about 8,500 rands for a pair of swimming shorts.
Yes.
And I just thought, who in their right mind is going to buy that? And that's not the 80,000 rand handbag or the 20,000 rand leather belt. I just looked at this and thought, this is just, it holds no appeal to me whatsoever.
And yet you'll spend $250,000 on a motor car or something like that, but you won't
pay. Maybe not quite so much. But yes, no, maybe not that amount of money, but I do agree with you, but there's one major difference. The car I drive every day,
yes.
I only ever buy five-year-old second-hand cars because it's just crazy to buy a new car because you get such massive depreciation. So my daily driver, I buy the last car I bought was 6 years old. The one before that was 8 years old. So I only buy second-hand daily drivers. And then the other cars that I buy are classic cars that do not fall in value. In fact, they go up in value.
Yeah.
So I've never lost money on a classic car, ever.
Okay, you've never lost money in the market either.
Plenty of times in the market.
Yes, I know, but the fact that you're still around means that you have, it's maybe a 70-30 in favor of you actually making money for yourself and your clients.
But the other thing I've learned in investments,
yes,
is you only remember your mistakes.
That's why I'm awake at night every night.
You only remember your mistake. You don't remember the ones you got right.
What are you getting right at the moment? What are you doing at the moment, Wayne, last minute or so? Are you doing anything different? Are you still waiting for the pullback?
Wait, sitting on cash.
Yeah.
And waiting.
Gosh, you're patient.
And the last week was good for that position. Mm. In the overseas markets fell quite heavily. They're up a little bit this week so far. They fell quite heavily. We did buy a little bit. We bought a couple of the shares that were down 10, 15% there. But we still got a lot of cash.
I think your patience will be rewarded. Wayne McCurry, thank you very much for your time this evening. It's Wayne McCurry, who's a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.